Ezekiel chapter 16, where we'll read verses 1 through 63. The whole chapter, Ezekiel chapter 16, of God's holy word. Ezekiel chapter 16, we'll start in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. So give your attention to them. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. When I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you, while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, while you were in your blood, live. I made you numerous like plants of the field. Then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age of fine ornaments. Your breasts were formed, and your hair had grown. Yet you were naked and bare. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you, so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. Then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with oil. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet. And I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands and a necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey, and oil, so you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. Then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord God. But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. You took some of your clothes made for yourself, high places of various colors, and played the harlot on them, which should never come about nor happen. You also took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourselves male images, that you might play the harlot with them. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them and offered my oil and my incense before them. Also my bread, which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey with which I fed you, you would offer before them for a soothing aroma. So it happened, declares the Lord God. Moreover, you took your sons and daughters, whom you had borne to me, and sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotry so small a matter? You slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols by causing them to pass through the fire. Besides all your abominations and your harlotries, you did not remember the days of your youth, where you were naked and bare and squirming in your blood. Then it came about after all your wickedness. Woe, woe to you, declares the Lord God, that you built yourself a shrine and made yourself a high place in every square. You built yourself a high place at the top of every street and made your beauty abominable. You spread your legs to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. You also played the harlot with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors, and multiplied your harlotry to make me angry. Behold, now I have stretched out my hand against you and diminished your rations, and I delivered you up to the desire of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines, who are ashamed of your lewd conduct. Moreover, you played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. You played the harlot with them and still were not satisfied. You also multiplied your harlotry with the land of the merchants, Chaldea, yet even with this you were not satisfied. How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord God. While you do all these things, the actions of a bold-faced harlot, when you built your shrine at the beginning of every street and made your high place in every square, and disdaining money, you were not like a harlot. You adulterous wife, who takes strangers instead of her husband. Men give gifts to all harlots, but you give gifts to all your lovers to bribe them to come to you from every direction for your harlotries. Thus you are different from those women in your harlotries, and that no one plays the harlot as you do. Because you give money and no money is given you. Thus you are different. Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because your lewdness has poured out and your nakedness uncovered through your harlotries with your lovers and with all your detestable idols and because of the blood of your sons which you gave to idols, therefore behold, I will gather all your lovers with whom you took pleasure, even all those whom you loved and all those whom you hated. So I will gather them against you from every direction and expose your nakedness to them that they may see all your nakedness. Thus I will judge you like women who committed adultery or shed blood are judged, and I will bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. I will also give you into the hands of your lovers, and they will tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and will leave you naked and bare. They will incite the crowd against you, and they will stone you, and cut you to pieces with their swords. They will burn your houses with fire, and execute judgments on you in the sight of many women. Then I will stop you from playing the harlot, and you will also no longer pay your lovers. So I will calm my fury against you, and my jealousy will depart from you, and I will be pacified and angry no more, because you have not remembered the days of your youth, but have enraged me by all these things. Behold, I in turn will bring your conduct down on your own head, declares the Lord God, so that you will not commit this lewdness on top of all your other abominations. Behold, everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb concerning you, saying, like mother, like daughter. You are the daughter of your mother, who loathed her husband and children. You are also the sister of your sisters, who loathed their husbands and children. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Now your older sister is Samaria and lives north of you with her daughters, and your younger sister, who lives south of you, is Sodom with her daughters. That you have not merely walked in their ways, or done according to their abominations, but as if that were too little, you acted more corruptly in all your conduct than they. As I live, declares the Lord God, Sodom, your sister and her daughters have not done as you and your daughters have done. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease, but she did not help the poor and needy. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I removed them when I saw it. Furthermore, Samaria did not commit half of your sins, for you have multiplied your abominations more than they. Thus you have made your sisters appear righteous by all your abominations which you have committed. Also bear your disgrace in that you have made judgment favorable for your sisters because of your sins, in which you acted more abominably than they. They are more in the right than you. Yes, be also ashamed and bear your disgrace, and that you made your sisters appear righteous. Nevertheless, I will restore their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, and along with them your own captivity, in order that you may bear your humiliation and feel ashamed for all that you have done when you become a consolation to them. Your sister Sodom with her daughters and Samaria with her daughters will return to their former state, and you with your daughters will also return to your former state. As the name of your sister Sodom was not heard from your lips in your day of pride, before your wickedness was uncovered, so now you have become the reproach of the daughters of Edom, and of all who are around her, of the daughters of the Philistines, those surrounding you who despise you. You have borne the penalty of your lewdness and abominations, the Lord declares. For thus says the Lord God, I will also do with you as you have done, you who have despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I will establish an everlasting covenant with you. Then you will remember your ways and be ashamed when you receive your sisters, both your older and your younger, and I will give them to you as daughters, but not because of your covenant. Thus I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall know that I am the Lord, so that you may remember and be ashamed and never open your mouth any more because of your humiliation, when I have forgiven you for all that you have done, the Lord God declares. And that is the word of the Lord. Now here in the passage we see the Lord is still showing justification, as we had last Lord's Day from chapters 14 and 15. He's still showing justification for bringing these desolations, these judgments upon Jerusalem. And we, if we've been paying attention, we should be asking, it should be pretty clear by now, right? It's pretty clear why there are judgments, why there are these desolations. But it is apparent to us as we read chapter 16 that all that has been given in explanation for the judgments is not sufficient yet. Because you are still in your sin. Because you still are, and sometimes just act just like Jerusalem did. And their many harlotries, and their abominations, and their idolatries. And they're turning from the Lord and not repenting of their sins. And our confession is a great confession. It says that we ought to examine ourselves so that we might be able to repent of our particular sins particularly. And yet, have we done that? Have you done that? And so the Lord shows Ezekiel and orders Ezekiel to show the people that He's punishing them based upon their own sins and as their sins deserve. And the first through verse 5, assuming emphasis on election, but it is not. But even from when you were born, you were abhorred because of your sin. And yet the Lord blessed them still. Showed favor to them, as He has done so to each one in this congregation here today. Verse 6, He said to them, live! I grew you from a child to an adult. He gives the vivid picture of that. He clothed you. He provided for you. He entered into covenant with you. You are His. He protected you. He washed you. He anointed you. He adorned you by Himself and with Himself. The Lord has blessed everyone in this room, whether you're a believer or not, just like Jerusalem, as He describes in the passage. And what did Jerusalem do? And what are some of you tempted to do and falling into right now? Verse 15, it says, but you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries to every passerby who might be willing. It goes on later and talks about that you are paying people to play the harlot instead of them paying you. And we are tempted to do that every day because we look often to the things of the world to keep us and to save us and to comfort us, to be God to us and Lord to us. And so He says here that you have become a prostitute. You've whored yourself to the world. You worshipped and served idols. He does that through verse 34. And that is here represented by the description of harlotry. And what will become of the harlot, the prostitute? Not any old harlot and prostitute, namely, also here. But what will happen? Terrible judgments. And so just as we, in our sin, have committed harlotry and idolatry and gone after other lovers, kind of like the book of Hosea, the prophet says, we must come back to the Lord and turn from our sin unto Him. But if we don't, what He promises here will come about. Terrible judgments. He says in verse 38, I will bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. His wrath and His jealousy. Beloved, do not be the harlot. Turn to Jesus. Through verse 59, the Lord warns again, don't be like Sodom. Jews here, hearing about Sodom especially, that they're worse than Sodom. And what happened to Sodom? And they're thinking of that in their, they should be thinking of that in their minds, as we are now. The Lord says, you have acted more wickedly, Jerusalem, than they have. And He says here, do not be a covenant breaker. All here have been entered into the covenant. And yet here He says, do not be a covenant breaker, but rather believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. The Lord reminds us of the covenant again. Remember His mercy at the end of the passage. That though you have sinned in such heinous ways, and this chapter gives you a picture of kind of a very little picture, but not as gross as it is in God's sight, but it gives you a little picture of what you might think it is in God's sight. But it is far worse than what we read here, what your sin is before Him. And so as you have sinned in such heinous ways, the Lord is still merciful. And in coming to Christ, He will forgive you of your sins, each one. And He will clear you of your guilty conscience and clean you and wash you by His blood. And so again, you're called in this passage to repent and turn from your sin unto Him, the living God, who will receive you. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, You are a merciful God. And in Your sight, we have done far worse than what is described here in the passage we read. And in our sight, it is very heinous. But it's far more heinous to You. Infinitely gross and despicable. Abominable. And we deserve the pains of hell forever. Your judgments. Your wrath. Forever and ever in the fiery pits of hell, where there is no deliverance from the fire and no deliverance in our bodies from the worm that eats us alive. That's what we deserve. But Father, we thank You that You have granted us a wonderful, merciful Savior in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is God and man in two distinct natures, one person forever, our Redeemer, who has made with us an everlasting covenant. And if we would believe, we would be showered with Your grace unending for all eternity. And be with You, be with Jesus face to face forever. And for all here who have believed truly, that is guaranteed to us. And no one can take that away. Not even our heinous sin, but that sin that we have committed and continue to commit, our habitual sins and other sins, both which we know we are committing and those that we don't know we are committing. Father, we repent now. We confess our sin. We have broken Your commandments, all of them, in thought, word, and deed. And we have played the harlot. But Father, we ask that Your grace would overcome our sin. And we know it does. And Father, we ask that we would not continue in sin, that grace may abound. For You say, may it never be. Rather, that we would flee from sin and turn from the flesh, and that the Spirit would overcome and do its good work in us. That's what we pray for as You call for it to happen. We are new creatures in Christ. We ask that we would live as new creatures and not like the old fleshly wicked creatures, where we were once dead in our trespasses and sins. But You have made us alive together with Christ, united us to Him. And so let us bear His name with honor, that Your name would be glorified, that even others would see our good works and give glory to You, the Father in heaven, and that we would be able to speak as Your instruments, knowing as we speak, telling people that there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Father, turn us from our sins unto You and forgive us be our advocate. Father, you promise us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us as far as of our sin, as far as the east is from the west. So Lord, be faithful as you are always faithful to your promise now. And Father, we do ask that you would be with Phyllis and Renee and Jody as they're sick. We pray that you would heal their bodies. We pray for our government as you command us, that they, kings and all in authority over us, would be saved as we think of the election coming up. That those running, you would save them and they would rule according to your word and your law. And they would reform their offices. And we would be able to worship freely and without fear of man. But even if that might come, and persecution come, we pray that we would not fear man, but we would remain fearful of you. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And Father, in that we ask that you would give us strength, if it would come. Make us bold and stand upon your word. And let us not turn from the left or to the right, but stay on the way to that you have set before us, the everlasting way. That we would be righteous as you are righteous. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.